Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Peter King, the one and only, joins us here at 95.7 The Game on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line to talk about a rousing win for the 49ers in Foxborough, the week that was and what is coming up in a very interesting, moving quickly now, NFL season. Peter, thank you for joining us here once again. How are you, sir?
Everything's going well. That was a tour de force, as Garoppolo told me on Sunday night before he got in the plane to fly back. It could not have gone much better. Now, I thought individually for him, it probably could have gone better. But as far as the team goes, they absolutely wiped the floor with a clearly declining New England Patriots.
Yeah, and I don't know if they are responsible for ending the dynasty, but it felt like that was the game that drove some nails home and the coffin shut for whatever the last 20 years was. And God bless the Patriots for two decades of unstoppable brutality over the league. It is so impressive. But we knew, Peter, that the Patriots had a lot of trouble scoring. Where we were shocked is that the 49ers undressed Bill Belichick's defense.
Ran roughshod over.
Something else.
I mean, here's what, you know, Sunday night when I just go back over these games and I just look at every game and try to figure out what I might do. And I didn't know really that I was going to get Garoppolo. But right after the game, I just started looking at things and I said, holy cow. I said, you could argue that the fourth and fifth running backs on this team, after Mostert, after McKinnon, after Tevin Coleman, you could argue the fourth and fifth backs are Wilson and a guy nobody has any idea who he is named Jamichael Hasty. But in my opinion, if, you know, when Kyle Shanahan got on that plane and he sat there and I'm sure at some point he looked at the numbers, he had to look up at John Lynch at some point and said, John, do you realize that Wilson and Hasty gained 169 yards and averaged 6.5 yards a carry against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots in Foxborough, Massachusetts? That's one of the feats of the year. It's tremendous, but it just goes to show you that, look, I'm sure that every San Francisco fan, when the game against Miami happened and the Dolphins are prancing off the field, a bad Dolphins team, you all think, prances off the field after putting up 43 on the 49ers and winning by 26. And you just say, that is, you know, it's wait till next year for the 49ers. You know, Kyle Shanahan, the reason why he is, and again, this is going to sound really like I'm overplaying my hand on Shanahan, but why he has a chance, and I mean a chance, put that in italic, he has a chance to be the young Bill Belichick, you know, this generation's Belichick, he's got a chance, is that he just figures out a way. and he says to Bobby Turner, hey, Bobby, you know, get your running backs ready. And then, by the way, go find a couple more that we might have to use if these guys get hurt. And Bobby Turner just gets them ready, and they end up playing really well. So, I don't know. My hat's off to the 49ers, to the coaching staff, and to those players for what they did in Foxborough.
Well, okay then. Based on that, they look like one of the best teams in football. Yet 2 weeks ago, we were slagging them unmercifully for beating a team that we thought wasn't good as New England. So what do you make of the totality of their year? And if it's more than just injury, then can you explain why they're 4-3 when they can look that good and look that bad in a 2 week space?
By the way, by any measure, the Miami Dolphins are better than the Patriots. And they have been for a year. Over the last year, the New England Patriots are 6-9. Okay, so, I mean, we need to stop thinking of the Patriots. There's a reason why Tom Brady's not there anymore. Okay, he was just fed up with Bill Belichick in essence saying to Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, you guys put enough points up on the board, you know, and keep us winning. Because Brady has never told me that. McDaniels never told me that. But in my opinion, if I were them, that's what I'd be feeling. They do not have one weapon on their offense that scares any defensive coordinator. Whereas if you're playing the Miami Dolphins, you know, they've got a few threats on that team. But be that as it may, I understand your question. So what are they right now? I think that it's what is really an interesting thing for this team right now is they're heading into what I would look at as the toughest 3 week stretch of their season, you know, at Seattle, Green Bay at home, at New Orleans. Okay. And so those are three games that, and look, they should probably thank their lucky stars that fans are going to be virtually non-existent at the two, what would have been the two toughest road games they had this year. so that's when we're going to know what these 49ers are. But to me, I just think that, you know, the fact that they don't have the kind of pass rush to really, you know, scare anybody, you know, post Bosa, that, I think they're a good team. But I think they could be really, really big trouble for somebody if they get in as a, let's say, a 5 or 6 seed. Or who knows, if they even win the division, they could be trouble for somebody. But I just really want to know how they're going to play, how much longer they're going to play without some of their injured guys, and whether Deebo Samuel, for instance, is going to be able to be a regular factor, you know, at some point this season. And because those are, you know, Richard Sherman and Deebo Samuel are guys who, when they aren't playing, those are huge losses to the bottom line. And plus, man, the other thing that's amazing about what they did in Foxborough, imagine doing it without your two safeties, you know, without Tart and Ward. And that was a lot of things. It was an amazing game, but it also showed how far down the Patriots are right now.
You mentioned the missing safeties, and just in general, this defense has taken what seems like an unbelievable level of injury, and yet it seems to hold together with the exception of one quarter against Miami, in large part because of the play of Fred Warner. And we've sort of been tossing around defensive player of the year odds for him are now in the group with sort of the usual suspects at the top of that board. And what do you make of his odds to actually be the defensive player of the year, and is he getting that level of respect around the league?
He's not getting that level of respect yet. And, you know, how do you really tell after 7 games? Number one, you'd really have to be great every single week. I mean, every single week to be able to convince 50 people in the NFL or who watch the NFL. All right. You know, the media people who vote for these things. Okay. You'd have to be great every week to be able to be able to show exactly how great you are. And, you know, because Aaron Donald, to me, he's almost the default guy, you know, who wins this every year. And so, you know, as of right now, they're clearly going to look at Fred Warner and going to look at his great all-around play, you know, recently. But I think what sort of hurts him is he's not set up to be a pass rusher at all in this defense. And so he's really not going to get many sacks. You know, he might get three or four all year. And so, you know, he's got to make a lot of splash plays, in my opinion, to have a chance to be the defensive player of the year. Because listen, Pro Football Focus doesn't pick the defensive player of the year. You know, they may have one or two people, you know, on the panel who do it, but this is very much still a subjective look at who's great, and for instance, how great are they totally across the board? And look, Fred Warner is clearly one of the two or three best sideline to sideline linebackers in football. And this year he might be the best, but you got to make a bunch of splash plays, in my opinion, to win that award.
Peter King, NBC Sports, joining us here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. I'd like to go back to what you said about Kyle Shanahan possibly being an heir apparent to Bill Belichick in terms of respected head coaches in this league. It almost looks to me that if you ask Bill Belichick, who might be his heir apparent, he would tell you it's Kyle Shanahan. There seems to be
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. There's a mutual level of respect there that is apparent. And I just think that the way that almost Kyle put it on him shows you how badly he wanted that game, how intently and detailed he was prepared for that game. It's like a chess master sitting down, you know, with the best of the best.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm sure that any coach who's telling you the truth is going to tell you that when he goes into a game against Bill Belichick, it's going to be one of the biggest games of his life. You know, you talk, this is going to sound funny, but, and I forget what year this was. It might have been 2011 or 12, but you guys know Dan Orlovsky. He's now sort of the rising
sure.
star
yeah.
at ESPN, former backup quarterback.
Dan go Orlovsky, UConn.
Yeah, go UConn. He's a UConn Husky. Dan Orlovsky, the best game of his career as a quarterback. He's a backup for the Indianapolis Colts, and he went in and played mano a mano against Tom Brady and had a huge day against Bill Belichick's defense. And they lost the game, but I can tell you Dan Orlovsky floated off the field because he knew that he went toe-to-toe with the great against the great Brady, and he solved a bunch of things that Bill Belichick had schemed for him that day. So that's the kind of day. Of course, Orlovsky lost the game. The Colts lost the game. But that's a game that Dan Orlovsky will go to his grave knowing I gave Tom Brady and Bill Belichick everything they had. And I only bring that up because when you play against great players and you play against great coaches, absolutely, totally, unequivocally, you think, I got to be great today. And if you're in any walk of life, you know, I mean, this is a very selfish thing to say, but when I go to the Super Bowl and I work the locker room after a Super Bowl, what's going through my mind is I want to be better than Sam Farmer. I want to be better. I want to be better than all the great writers who are covering that game. I want to do something today that will be better than everybody else does. And I think if you're a competitive person in any walk of life, that's the way you think. And I will guarantee you, he'll never say it, but I guarantee you that Kyle Shanahan, there's a little bit something extra when you walk into Gillette Stadium and across the sidelines is one of the greatest coaches of any sport who ever lived.
We've talked about how New England has basically fallen off the map. Is the thing in Dallas, which looks, if anything, worse than the situation in New England, is that irretrievable at this point for this year?
I think for this year it is, Ray. But I think the biggest issue, in my opinion, is not that they're getting killed the way they are. The biggest issue is that they've got a bunch of guys. If you go back and look at one play in the game in Washington on Sunday, and it's the play that this unknown linebacker, I think Kerry Holcomb from Washington, he's a young kid from University of North Carolina, and Ezekiel Elliott, who's supposed to be one of the best blitz pickup running backs in football. If you just watch the play where Holcomb sacks Andy Dalton, he blows up Ezekiel Elliott, and it looked like Elliott was just not even ready to take him on. And it was just, quite honestly, in my opinion, when I watched it, I looked at it and I said out loud, watching that game, watching that play, that is embarrassing. So give the guy credit for making the play. But Ezekiel Elliott, can you watch tape with your teammates when you sit in that running back room or the offensive room, and then you watch the tape from that game? If you're the running backs coach, or if you're Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, I don't know the running backs coaches, but if you're Kellen Moore or you're McCarthy, what do you say to the highest paid running back in football who you are relying on to keep your head above water? Who you're a terrible football team, and your best player comes out and basically whiffs on a blitz pickup and gets your quarterback sacked. It's disgraceful, quite honestly. And that, to me, when I see things like that, I just say the first thing that Mike McCarthy has to do is get his guys to play hard. That's what I mean. It sounds easy because there's enough talent there to be competitive if they play hard. And I don't see everybody on that team playing hard.
Speaking of the Cowboys, they trade Everson Griffin today for a conditional sixth, essentially a fifth or sixth round draft pick to the Lions. First of all, are you surprised at the low price? And second of all, are you surprised that the Niners weren't involved if indeed the price was so low?
I mean, in the first place, I mean, Everson Griffin is not having a good year at all. I don't know if he's playing hurt, if he, or what exactly is going on with him right now. But as I look at that team, I don't, and again, I haven't watched every snap of the Dallas Cowboys, so he might be playing better than I thought. But do you remember one play that Everson Griffin has made for the Dallas Cowboys? I don't remember. I don't remember him making a play this year that would justify. I know Alden Smith has made a hell of a lot of plays this year, but Everson Griffin has not made a heck of a lot of plays this year. And I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, you say, listen, the sixth round pick is fine, and we're glad we have that. But the most important thing is to get a little bit of salary cap relief because, look, this is a little, very much an inside football thing here, but it's really important. When you see trades made at the trade deadline this year, there is going to be an emphasis like never before on the salary of the players on your team. Okay. And the reason that there is going to be this emphasis is that if you can clear let's say, you know, I don't know, maybe whatever it is, $3 or $4 million of the rest of the year for Everson Griffin. Do you know what that means? That means you can add that onto your salary cap for the 2021 season. Salary cap is going down from 198 this year to about 175 next year. The Cowboys have got to have a gigantic amount of space already. I think $42 million or whatever it is for $38 million, maybe that's the number for Dak Prescott, because they will bring Dak Prescott back, and so they need to be jettisoning salary as well as looking to get some prospects back.
Peter, how many footballs will DK Metcalf have to catch to be remembered for catching footballs before he's remembered for catching Buda Baker in one of the more amazing plays I've ever seen on a football field?
Yeah, it's, you know, I forget who said this to me this week, but the NFL season is 7 weeks old, and the most memorable play is a tackle on an interception. And you want to say, well, you know, wasn't that big a deal? It was a very, very big deal. And I think it was because everybody who plays sports, and even people who don't play sports, can identify with what happened. It looked like an absolutely hopeless play. You've seen 100 times on interception returns, guys just peel off at the end like, well, I can't catch him. And DK Metcalf not only looks like he could run the 200 meters in the Olympics and compete, I mean, at his size, but he had this thing in him. I'm trying to get him this week because I think this is a story that is not just going to be a 1 week story. I want to write about him next week.
I think it's the first play they talk about in his obituary one day. It's the most remarkable thing I've ever seen a wide receiver do without a football in their hands.
Yeah. And you've seen it two or three other times. You saw Ben Watson do it with the Patriots. And you saw, I think, Don Beebe do it. Somebody did it with the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl against
That was Beebe.
The Cowboys.
But I think Buda Baker runs a 4.2, though, you know?
I looked it up. Buda Baker's 4.43, and DK Metcalf is 4.34. Wow. So he's a little bit faster. But I'm sure that mentally, Buda Baker, when he was at about the 30-yard line with 70 yards left, he's thinking, nobody's catching me. And I wonder if Buda Baker knew he intercepted the ball at the 2-yard line. If he knew at that precise moment, if he knew that he was going to need every last yard and run like he never ran before, I think he probably would have scored. But part of him had to think, nobody is catching me. And so, but whatever, hats off, totally, totally hats off to DK Metcalf.
So let's go from weird to mega weird. When was the last time you saw a game that was dominated by the punter, like last night's?
That was an incredible, incredible performance. And you know what was great last night that ESPN did? They showed it twice. They showed punts in super slow motion, including the watermelon punt, or whatever you'd call that one, where instead of the ball being held like any punter would ever hold a football, Hecker held the ball in a sideways way so that, you know, basically he's holding the ball in his hands, you know, with the ends of the football in either hand. And so he's kicking it like right in the middle so that when it lands, all it's going to do, Hecker hopes, and I read what he said after the game, his goal when that ball hits the earth is just simply to bounce straight up in the air. And it's just, I love things like that. I love that onside kick, the Dallas onside kick when Greg Zuerlein, you know, kicked. And ironically, that was called the watermelon kick, where you just lay the ball on the ground. But anyway, I guess the overriding point I would make is that there's a science to almost every position in the NFL. It's amazing that there's this science to punting. That, I mean, some of the guys, the Aussies have brought it over. Darren Bennett brought over, remember when he played for the Chargers, and he had a way to make a ball bounce at the 1 yard line and bounce backwards. And he could do it consistently. And so the science of punting is really kind of a cool thing to watch.
This looking forward to the next week for the Niners. The Seattle defense obviously leaves a lot to be desired. So understanding that clearly their offense is better than New England, do you think the Niners can essentially do the same thing to Seattle's defense that they've done to their last two opponents and just kind of push them around?
I think the question will be who's going to be on the field for San Francisco. You know, it's easy to sit here and say, well, Bobby Turner can make chicken salad out of chicken feathers, because throughout his career, and I mean, Bobby Turner began coaching for a Shanahan when Kyle was a 15-year-old high school sophomore in Denver. So, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Turner got known each other for a long time. But one of the reasons why it's so important to this team right now is that, I mean, you might laugh at this, and anybody, if I told you on Labor Day weekend, hey, by the way, you know, you'd be playing one of the biggest games of your year, and a guy named Jamichael Hasty will have to touch it and play well. He'll be touching it 23 times in order for you to win. Now, I don't have any idea if that's what would happen, but that's almost like you're a Dallas Cowboys fan and on Labor Day weekend say, hey, by the way, you got a must game this week on Sunday Night Football, and your quarterback is going to be named Ben DiNucci. Oh. You know, I mean, that's why somebody like Kyle Shanahan is really, really important, because you play the game against the Jets, you lose half your team, everybody's hurt, everybody is out, everybody's out for the year, all this stuff. And you have to go to West Virginia and you have to tell your guys and convince your guys, hey, the sky isn't falling, we're going to be all right. And he's done that. And they haven't been perfect, obviously, but he's done that. And that's what he really does well. And I'm sure that they'll figure out a way somehow, some way, to come back from one 3,000-mile trip to go on another 1,000-mile trip against a team that's twice as good as New England. And I think they'll play a really good game.
Peter, I know you're a huge baseball fan. Are we going to get a Game 7 in this World Series?
Man, I desperately want a Game 7. I have nothing against this guy named Gonsolin for the Dodgers, man, but I hope he gives up 9 runs in the first inning tonight. You know? I'll tell you, I really want to see my new favorite guy. Reminds me like a cross between Oral Hershiser and Greg Maddux is this Walker Buehler. I mean, I don't know what he weighs. Not a lot, but he's a string bean, and he is one competitive guy. And I'd love to see him pitch to go into baseball history tomorrow night. Now, I really don't care who wins, no dog at all in this game, but I love Game 7. It's funny, I did Joe Buck for my podcast, which will drop tomorrow. I recorded it about 3 hours ago before he went out to the ballpark. He's in Dallas. And I said, when you wake up in the morning on the day of a big game, football or baseball, what really gets your juices flowing? And he said, there's nothing in my life that I love more, that I love to be involved with more, than a Game 7 of the World Series. So that is, in Joe Buck's opinion, that is in a league of its own. And it's amazing that you'd say that even over a Super Bowl. But I think the history of the World Series, even though, you know, you almost have to be a person of a certain age to revere Game 7s and really to revere baseball anymore. But I'll tell you, if there's a game seven, I'll probably be sitting there in my living room in Brooklyn, New York, keeping score of the game because I'm a baseball nerd too.
I love it. I love it. So who's got a better shot from Tampa Bay at a title this year, the Buccaneers or the Rays? Let's be honest.
Well, the Rays, because they're two wins.
Here they are.
But I guess I would say this. Last year, when I made my predictions before the year, and I predicted that the 49ers would be, I did a ranking of 1 to 32, and I had the 49ers number 7. I've never gotten more emails saying you're an idiotic baboon than when I made that pick. And at the end of the year, I could honestly say, hey, you're right. I was totally wrong about the 49ers. I had them way too low, but now this year I picked the Bucks to get to the Super Bowl. And that is what really set people off this year. How in the world you could do that? You're in bed with Brady, and all this stuff. And I said, I watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. They entered the last two games of the season on a four-game winning streak, and they were 7-7. And then Jameis Winston threw 6 interceptions in the last two games, and they lost two games that they should have won both by double digits. So they should have ended up 9-7, and Brady should have been walking into a situation that people would say, oh, man, that's solid gold. But just because they lost those last two games, nobody said that. I just look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and say, okay, it's great they have Brady, but this is a damn good team. That defense is a top 3 NFL defense right now, today. And Brady's got weapons out the wazoo. How long will he have Antonio Brown? 5 minutes or 5 weeks or 3 months? I really don't know. But even with him or without him, they might be today the best team in the NFC as long as their receivers stay healthy. Now, remember one thing, that when I asked Bruce Arians Sunday night about this move, one of the things he said was, the first thing out of his mouth was, it's injuries, okay? Because he walked up to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller on the field in Vegas before the game, and he said, Tell me the truth, guys. What are you right now percentage-wise? How do you feel? What's your physical percentage right now? Scotty Miller said about 85. Mike Evans said about 80. And Chris Godwin said about 80. And, during the football season, if players are saying that in week 7, you don't have a whole lot of chance to get healthy during the season. So Arians looks at it and says, we're going to probably have to go out and get a receiver anyway. So let's give this a go. Now, they're going to take an incredible amount of guff, as they should, for picking up this guy. And I think that Antonio Brown is not going to make it. I've seen this movie too often. But this is a sign that Bruce Arians and Jason Light think we have got the chance of all chances this year, and we're going to the wall to try to win it.
It's a go-for-it move, no doubt. Peter, thank you for letting us go for it for 31 minutes. This is a new record. We've never done an interview this long ever. We're going to get yelled at. We blew through 2 breaks. My PD is going to be all pissed off, but it was worth it.
Okay. I want somebody to say, oh, man, that king, he's almost as good as Steve Kerr in his segment. That'll be my goal in life.
Thank you, Peter. Really appreciate it. That is, it's tough to be that good. That's 5 NBA finals in a row good. But Peter King is the king from NBC Sports, and that was great. That was almost a full show. That was great. So, studio, I know that we're breaking all radio rules right here. What time do we go to? You want me to go to 40? All right, so, guys, we're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep
going. It's an hour-long segment.
It really is. It's an hour-long, commercial-free, interrupted, pump-it-or-dump-it segment.
For the people.
For the kids. Good stuff here. Let me just quickly tell you that we should have been brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware. Outdoor Supply Hardware has brought the classic hardware store back, now with 11 great locations, plus the new Club OSH rewards program. You can earn points towards coupons on every purchase you make. Learn more and sign up today at OSH.com. Thank you very much, Outdoor Supply Hardware. And again, you can ask your smartphone, your smart speaker, Alexa, whatever her name is, play 95.7 The Game, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Got to make our good sponsors happy. And, you know, this will make an awful lot of 49er fans listening happy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!